You have a new sheet. You have Genesis 29, 1 through 30.
Mom says she has a slight delay, but she's coming.
So Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. And he looked and saw a well in the field. And behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. A large stone was on the well's mouth. Now all the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. And Jacob said to them, "My brethren, where are you from?" And they said, "We are from Haran." Then he said to them, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know him." So he said to them, "Is he well?" And they said, "He is well. And look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep." Then he said, "Look, it is still high day. It is not time for the cattle to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them." But they said, "We cannot until all the flocks are gathered together and they have rolled the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep." Now while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative and that he was Rebekah's son. So she ran and told her father. Then it came to pass, when Laban heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, and embraced him and kissed him, and brought him to his house. So he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely you are bone, surely you are my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him for a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?" And Laban said, "It must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years." Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went in to Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. This is God's Word. Genesis 29. I have to be careful. If this was put on by Hollywood, we might have to have a mature rating for this particular account. Nevertheless, as I have explained before, when you put the right context, when you see what the book of Genesis is doing, when you see that this is about the promise of the Savior, and it is about God working through the patriarchs whom He has chosen, and we're looking for a promised Savior, the story is a little bit different, and we see things in a little bit different light. Similar to other times, we're going to have to go through the facts and understand just exactly what's happening there before we can get on to, as the scriptures say, all these things written were written for our learning, for our instruction. And we have to say, well, once we find out what it is that's going on, then how can this be of instruction to us, and what was its purpose for us? Moses is writing about this, so it isn't for Jacob or Leah or Rachel that Moses is writing this down. He's writing it down for us. Back up just a little bit, context-wise, Genesis 27, Jacob has tricked Esau out of the blessing. And now Esau hates Jacob and is intending to have him killed. Dad's going to die pretty soon. Rebekah says, "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day?" And so it is that Rebecca sends him off, hoping to recall him later on. What does she say to Isaac? She says, "I don't want him to get a daughter from around here, from the Hittites, so let's send him to go get a daughter from Laban." Isaac thinks that is a good decision, and we saw that the blessing by which he leaves is the blessing of Abraham, and it makes it quite clear. Last week, we took a look at Genesis 28, and as Jacob is on his way, we said that there is not only external trials, but also internal trials. Externally, he leaves his family, he leaves the household. Esau is in charge. It appears that he has lost everything in this particular deception. Internally, whether he, having stole the blessing, is it really his? And does he have it? And is God pleased with him concerning this? And is he the one now, Abraham, Isaac, is it now with Jacob? Is he truly the patriarch? I know God said it. Well, God gives him a sacrament. He puts not only words, but also an outward sign with it, and we saw that it was a ladder. The ladder was the divine and human nature of Jesus, as Jesus himself explains later with Philip, that this is about the promised seed. He gives him all the other blessings as well. Things about having many descendants, about giving him the land, about blessing him with material things. In your seed, referring to he's going to be in the line of the promise. I'm going to be with you, I'll bring you back, and I won't leave you until I've accomplished everything that is to be done. And so we see that Jacob, in his response, not one of unbelief, but one of faith, in which he says, well then, You're doing these things, so then I too will make you my God. And when I come back to this place, it would appear he's going to set up a congregation, set up a preaching station. He's going to give him a tent. I'm going to make this God's house, because the way that we are opened into the heavenly kingdom is through Jesus and faith in him. So this is the way that he takes off on his journey. The New King James says, so Jacob went on his journey. The literal Hebrew of this is, Jacob picked up his feet. Which is kind of colloquial. I would think King James would have left that in there. It's kind of poetic and rather than translate. There have been many commentators who have said, just exactly what does that mean? Why all of a sudden Jacob picked up his feet? I think that as we get through today's text, it says to me that Jacob left with nothing. This is not him being sent with flocks and herds and everything like that. Instead, leaving, having been given this vision of the ladder, he simply obeys and goes as God has said. And so in faith he goes. He comes to the land of the people of the east. And so having left here, having had his vision, he comes to Paddan Aram, he comes to Haran. This is where Laban, Nahor was. Laban is living. And he comes to them. And lo and behold, we've got a well and people bringing their flocks and someone watering the flocks. And it sounds a lot like a past story. What past story was that? Abraham sent his servant to go get a wife for Isaac. The servant gets there, finds a well, and what does he find?
A wife.
Well, similarly, guess what? Rachel's there. We got a wife. There's significant differences, though. With that one, what happens?
He prays that God would send the right person.
Right. So there's a prayer. If this woman who comes to the well gives me a drink and says, more than that, I'll even water your flock, then she'll be the one. In this story, does Rachel do any watering?
No.
Who does the watering?
Jacob does.
Jacob does. All right, so he gets there. This well seems to be a little bit different. It's one out in a field. And so unlike the other one where it would appear that Rebecca was coming out to get water for the family and bring it back, probably close to town or in town, this is one simply for the flocks, and it is out in the field, and it is in a somewhat of a desert place, I guess, because he has to even ask about Laban and where is he and where would that be. Well, that's somewhere else, so it's obviously not close by. And Jacob sees, you have the and behold, which is going to make us take a look at this. We got three flocks that are by it, and yet they're not watering any of the flocks at all. Not yet. There is a well. It's covered up with a large stone. It says all the flocks would be gathered. Then they would roll a stone away from the male's mouth. They'd water the sheep. They put the stone back. It would appear that this is not only a means of protection, but also that this is a large stone, that normally not one man would move this stone. They would wait until they all were together, and then they would take two or three to move it away. Jacob comes, and though in our terms he's a little older, I'm going to say he would appear to us as a young teenager, I know he's not a teenager, but he would appear as someone who is quite bold, who knows what he's doing and is coming in, and by means of four questions, I'm not quite sure if Jacob was going to, if he was coming up and asking you these questions, their answers are quite short and to the point. And in fact, he asks them about what's going on, and they say, here's the way things go, and he doesn't follow the convention. he doesn't follow the rules about how you're supposed to wait. So, he says, my brethren, where are you from? Does that sound a little funny?
You shouldn't be asking them where they're from if they're your brethren. It's kind of like...
Right.
So,
has he seen these people before?
No.
No. He's come from here. He shows up in the middle of nowhere and he says, my brethren. You know, and I'm thinking...
Maybe that's colloquial for bros.
Your bros.
That's what I was kind of feeling.
Yeah, he's trying to establish a connection with them. I'm not quite sure how well this works, you know, if they kind of fist bump him and say, yeah, you know, I think they kind of look at him and kind of go, who is this guy and what's he doing here?
You do kind of feel like you're in one of those movies where the, like, white nerdy dude goes to the city and he's like, my brother in.
Yeah.
And they're like...
Yeah, and the four black eyes look at him and go...
You're trying a little too hard.
Trying a little too hard. That's pretty well.
Sounds like a politician to me.
Ooh. You know, Jacob's name is...
Trickster,
yeah. So, he left behind. You know, I mentioned last time. Yeah, you had the big ladder event. What's going on?
I said it doesn't say subtle one.
Yes, not. He had the great ladder event. He's had the spiritual experience, and at this point, he never deceives anyone ever again. Yeah, I don't think so, right? I mean, this is the same, you know, I found Jesus and, you know, I'm not an alcoholic and I don't run around with women and everything's great. I still kind of get... All right, where? We're from Haran. He says to them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? Yep, we know him. Yeah, where are we from? Haran. You know Laban? Yep, know him. I'm just saying, it's pretty short and not a whole lot going on here. Is he well? They finally say, of course he's well. He is well. In fact, take a look. Rachel is now coming out with the sheep. So we got three flocks around there. Rachel's coming up with some sheep. And he says, take a look here. There's his daughter.
We're over like, yep, he's fine. Look, there's someone else you can talk to.
Yeah, maybe you want to talk to her. You're asking about, you know, because you aren't one of us. I'm just saying, maybe a politician, maybe trying a little bit too hard.
But the farmers are too smart to let him, they don't let that talking guy get at him.
Right. He's not in charge. This is not his well, and this is not his place. He says, look, it's still high daytime. It's not time for the cattle to be gathered to water the sheep and go and feed them. In other words, she's arriving here too early. Too early. So, you know, there's something with this. We don't water the sheep till later, but there must be some advantage to getting there early. And to be first come, first serve. You know, you get your stuff done early, you get the flocks there, you get the first one to get your flocks watered at the well, and you can get back home and you're done for the day. It would appear that she's getting there a little too early. And they say, you know, we can't do it until, you know, someone, till we roll that stone away. While he was still speaking, Rachel came with her father's sheep. She was a shepherdess. You know the rest of the story. It doesn't say anything at this point about how beautiful Rachel is. Nothing's really said about it. All we have is that it's a daughter at this point. It may be that this is part of it, but it doesn't say anything. It came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother. Yeah, okay, so you got the sheep, but he saw Rachel too. But it's not really letting us know about that yet, but sure sounds like there's something that's with that. Jacob went near, rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother.
Well, one thing about this, in 28:2, Jacob's told where to go and who to meet. Now, it's kind of a roundabout way, but he's told. And when he finds out he's in Haran, and when he finds out that that they know Laban, and this is Laban's daughter, he's got a clue that he's in the right place.
Yes.
One of the few guys you find that actually believed what he was told.
So we got the promise. I think you're exactly right. What's this about? This is about the promise. He was told to go there. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's got the promise that he's going to marry, and this is what needs to happen. And when he gets there, he goes, great, we got this all done. And he jumps in, pulls the stone away, and takes care of Rachel and the flocks. We're not. I mean, a lot of questions about this. Is this an example of superhuman strength, like David overcoming Goliath, Samson at the point that God? Now again, those things happened in which all of a sudden Jacob, in great joy and whatever, says, we're not waiting for two other guys, and he moves it over.
No, because the people that, these aren't men that he's talking to. These are the youngest and most useless boys these people have, because that's who you have taking care of your sheep. Because a grown man, if you've got a strapping son or whatever, they've got him at home doing something useful for him, which is really hard, because this part of the job is easy. So they're going to have dogs that keep the sheep, and the boys basically just make sure the dogs do what they're supposed to do.
Yep. You got the ruddy, like David, who was out, he's the one that's not that important.
It also says something about Rachel, that Rachel is tending the sheep, because again, remember, these are the most despised people, as people they said take follow the sheep. These aren't their best.
So why does Laban send Rachel?
I'm thinking he thinks a good deal more of Leah than he thinks of Rachel.
Okay, I'm asking why you named me this. I have questions. I'm starting to question my entire existence here.
You're foresight.
This is getting quite personal. Yes.
I'm wondering why in verse 10, Laban, his mother's brother, is referred to that three times in that one verse. That has to be some significance.
Correct. This is what I think Pastor Roon was pushing, where he says this is about the promise. This is about him following what he is supposed to do and to provide. And so, yes, I do think that this latter event, all that has happened, has pushed him to secure the promise, has pushed him to be the patriarch, to be the one that he is supposed to be, to get this done. And he has the courage in order to do it. Nevertheless, we are going to find that God is working
differently than he thought.
I want to say God's working on him. And it's going to take 20 years to, and maybe a little bit more, it's going to take a good amount of time for God to deal with the deceiver and to get the truth to come out his mouth, to get him to do the right thing. It's not that he's any less a believer than any of us. It takes God 20 years to make us a Christian. He saves us, but then he continues to work in these ways. He comes up, he kissed Rachel. Is that anything of a big deal? No, we find later when Laban comes, Laban kisses Jacob. I mean, this is greetings, this is things. And He finds out who he is. He takes care. He's the one who's doing the stuff for Rachel. She ran and told her father. Then it came to pass when Laban heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him. He embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his household. Mm-hmm. This happened before. Again, when the servant was supposed to go get a wife for Isaac. And when the servant came, they ran back. Rebekah went back, told him. Laban came out and got him. Laban remembers what happened last time when this guy came. When the servant came.
He brought lots of gifts.
He brought lots of gifts.
He came with camels and bride price and the whole bit.
Wow! And showered out the blessings and everything upon this. Laban goes, woohoo! It's the day, you know. He goes, brings the guy back, and braced him, kissed him, brought him to his household. And so he told Laban all these things. Mm-hmm. What do you think Jacob told Laban?
That he was sent there to find a wife.
Yeah, and I bet that's about it. Mm-hmm. All these things. I'm pretty sure he didn't talk about all the deception and what he, you know.
But you think Laban had to ask at some point, like, well, where are the camels?
Where's all the stuff? And so when he shows up, yeah, I don't think it quite, it comes out.
Well, in the next verse, he's like, well, you are related to me.
Yeah, this, you know, at first you read this and go, oh my goodness, you know, this is a family thing. Yes. I think it's just what you said. Well, we are related. I guess, you know, you can stay. Actually, when he comes, I mean, if you really want to talk about this, where the servant came before with all this stuff, Jacob comes destitute and a fugitive. So why are you here? Well, I tricked and I did something wrong and I did. Oh, man, you are in trouble. So what do you got? I got nothing. They sent me away with nothing. He stays with him a month. During this time, evidently, Jacob was very industrious, was very diligent, and Laban looked at Jacob and said, you know what? I'd like to keep you around. You enriched my household. You've been very good. Laban said, surely my bosom busted him. Laban said to him, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be? You're my relative. I think I'll employ you. I'll have you work. I'm not quite sure. I don't know. I guess it's all right. It seems to me, Laban seems to be a bit of a deceiver and greedy, and I'm going to say he appears to be Jacob's match. You might remember when I told you before about Luther, where he talks about stealing, and he says, you know, if you're stealing and theft, you can never really get ahead. Because what does God do? He sends one thief to steal from the other, and nobody ever has their stuff. So Jacob steals, and does he actually get ahead? No, he leaves with nothing, and he ends up going to Laban, and guess what Laban does? Mm-hmm. You know, if Jacob thought he was the trickster, wow! Now he gets tricked. Tony Prochaska?
Yeah, they do. It mentions two daughters, but he doesn't mention any sons. A man in that day that did not have a son to protect his goods has to send his daughters out to with the flock, and so forth, is at an extreme disadvantage. Remember the story with Moses when he comes to the well. And these guys drive off his future wife's sheep because there's nobody there to protect them. So Laban might say, oh, here's a nice strapping young dude. Why don't we keep him around for a while? Fill the place of what I've lost, or I don't have.
Absolutely. I'm going to say he looks at Jacob and says, retirement. Great! I finally got, you know, I couldn't load it off on the daughters, but this guy, I can load it off on, and great, he can do, you're right, he sees this as an advantage. Susie?
I was just going to say, earlier, when he told Laban all these things, and his response was, surely you are my bone and my flesh, and I know that Laban is a trickster, too. I'm thinking he did tell him what happened, and he's like, yep, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You are definitely my nephew.
Tongue-in-cheek, yeah, it very well could be. Or it could be one of those unintended ones where the scriptures have them say, you know, right, it's better than one man die for the people than all, and it ends up being true. Karin?
Jacob had received the blessing, and I'm assuming that the Lord blessed him richly, just like he blessed Abraham and Isaac, so even within 30 days, I'm guessing Laban probably saw him as a good luck charm or something. Whoa, this guy has brought wealth to me, or has brought good things, so I'm going to keep this guy around because it's profitable to me.
It appears exactly like that. Mm-hmm. That God who had promised to bless him is now blessing him. Laban sees that and says, okay. Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were, the New King James makes this too positive. They were weak. That's what it says. The implication with weakness is that she was ugly.
Sorry. She had squint.
Yeah. Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Concerning this, you know, I got the weak part. I got the beautiful. When we had Rebecca before, and she watered the sheep, and she watered this, and we said, let's look at the good qualities. I'm a little concerned that Rachel's best quality
is her looks.
And that's about it. And I'm concerned about Jacob, who, in looking for a wife, simply goes for a looker, and that's it.
He never said he was a deep thinker.
We know from future events in Genesis, the household wasn't, you know, maybe the best run, most peaceful household.
Yes, exactly. But that all being said, okay. Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. Jacob has nothing. And so, if he is going to have a dowry that he can give for the daughter that he is taking away, he has to work. I think Laban sees it. I think Laban sees it ahead of time. He knows exactly. He's got Jacob over a barrel. He's got him. You know, I can tell. You've been here a month. I know what's going on. You know, you're going to have to work. And you're going to have to work for a while. And you got nothing. So, he takes advantage of it. He takes advantage of it. And that's exactly what he does. So, 7 years he works. It is interesting. I mean, what kind of thing is this? Well, I guess better I give her to you than someone else. I don't take that as a positive sign, right? Can I marry your daughter? Well,
better than nothing.
That all being said, Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. They seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. This only a few days. Obviously, the comparison between 7 years and a few days lets you know that it is love and what he did, it seemed like nothing in comparison. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, when he left, he was told by his mother it would only be
a few days.
And so what is he supposed to do? He's supposed to go and get a wife. After a few days, he's going to have a wife. Yeah, 7 years. And once he gets her, he's going back. That's it. He's about at the end. It's been a lot longer than Rebecca thought. I'm going to say it's been a lot longer than Jacob thought. Nevertheless, he's just about there. And he goes, great, we got it done. 21. Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled. No, didn't they already have an agreement? Laban didn't know it'd been 7 years.
He needed a push.
Jacob had to remind him. What's Laban thinking?
One more time for the work.
I'm just about ready to lose this guy.
Yeah.
And so Laban, not 7 years. And we took in January. No, I was thinking more like December. Whatever it is. Until finally Jacob says what? Give me my wife. And so Luther says that Laban went out and raked together all the men he could find. puts him in a very bad light. That is, nobody really liked Laban, but he gathered all he could get. Decided to grab the men of the place. They were going to have a wedding feast. Jacob's going to marry Rachel. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. There are a lot of questions about this. And I think the overly kind Jacob didn't know, because he was intoxicated in his love for Rachel.
Maybe intoxicated,
but not at that. I don't know exactly what all happened, but yes, let's just say he had a little too much wine. Okay, but I don't think it stops. There's a lot more questions.
Have you had weak eyes?
What?
He had weak eyes.
His father was having, maybe he had a little problem.
Yeah, I don't know.
You get that way after you have too much wine.
What else, what other questions do we have to ask? First of all, we have to ask, did Rachel agree to this?
She probably didn't have a choice.
She's got, been waiting 7 years, and all of a sudden this thing, Rachel, I'm pretty sure she... I don't know. Let's say she got locked up in a room.
I was going to say, she couldn't have been at the wedding.
Exactly. But what about Leah?
Yeah, she never thought, oh, by the way, I'm Leah, I'm not Rachel.
Did Leah agree to this thing?
Evidently. Maybe she was desperate.
Yeah, she was weak on the eyes.
It's been 7 years and she isn't married.
This may be her only chance. And then they do the whole, I didn't tell you, we don't let the younger marry first. I didn't mention that 7 years ago.
Yeah, so I get the Laban thing saying later. Obviously something's wrong with that too.
Yeah.
But at least Leah, is in some way complicit with this. I'm sorry. maybe there's a veil and maybe there's whatever. But the problem is that Leah's in on this particular thing too.
Yeah, that's going to make her happy marriage.
Too. Yeah. And so we got a maid. Yeah, I got a maid. Now, this is at least a generous thing on behalf of Laban to give a maid. Normally there were gifts that were given. It's normally not mentioned unless it's something like a servant or land or something like that. But there were stuff that was given. But that this was that's at least significant. It does show you Laban's wealth, at least at this point. So, but Laban, why does Laban do this? I know I hear what he says. What he says... it must not be done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn.
When you talk about women who are just a commodity, No.
Right.
Doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, and okay, I get the idea where you tell me Laban agreed to this thinking that someone's going to marry Leah in the next 7 years, and so it doesn't happen, and now he's going, well, but there still seems to be that. I mean, that's not adequate. That's not where you go, oh, okay, I didn't know. You know, I mean,
well, it's his way of getting another 7 years out of him, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is, too. Well, maybe this was all the brainchild of Leah to begin with, because she might be jealous of Rachel, and she might go to her dad and say, hey, look, you know, if I go to him, then you can make him work another 7 years for.
Well, we've got to remember the tree, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. These people are all sinners, and they're all conning to get the best thing they can.
I mean, and even to roll it back another 7 years, does Rachel even know why he's sticking around for 7 years?
I would assume, but...
I think he would have talked about it once in a while.
You know, here's the agreement. I would think, you know, the contract is kind of public knowledge, but...
Well, the women had, I mean, they just had to do what their father told them. They couldn't, they didn't have the right to...
Don't take a check from any of these people.
In a polygamous society, this is not unusual.
Eric?
So this is really going to mess with the line, the promise, right? Because now he's got two options.
So here's the question. If we're concerned about, is this simply... Jacob lustfully looking for a babe, or is this Jacob trying to fulfill the promise by which he has children and descendants, and the promise of a savior comes in this line? And so I think there's more going on here. So your question is, so if he's got Leah and then Rachel... which wife does... And then we got two maids a little bit later. Who does the line of the promise go through? So that we say the Savior is going to come from this line. Now, at this point, we don't know. You might assume, at this point, that Rachel is the one. Right? Because that was the plan, that's the thing, whatever. And Leah is kind of a deceiver, or at least quiet about it, or what, unloved, so that doesn't count. What do we actually know? Who knows who the line of the promise comes through?
He's Judah, he's of the tribe of Judah.
And who is his mother?
Leah.
It's
Leah, yeah.
Oh, now that says something.
God knows, not him.
Huh?
God knows who it's coming from. He doesn't.
Right. One other thing, I've got a question. I do find it really funny. You got to snicker a little bit when Laban says, we don't give the stuff to the younger. It always goes to the eldest first. Why is that funny?
Because he knows what's up.
Yeah. That's the whole thing with Esau.
Because Jacob is the younger, and he just took all the stuff and left, you know. And so now he, again, reiterates the very thing that Jacob did that got him kicked out 7 years ago and says, around here, we keep things in order. Mm-hmm. Ooh, interesting. Pastor?
Well, Jacob is the father of Israel. There's 12 sons. Jacob has 12 sons. How many mothers are there for those 12 sons?
Four.
Now, Leah, the Genesis 1 or 3 official wife. Now, the first wife, I'm going to say, and this is my term, so it's not a biblical term. The first wife is the official wife.
Leah.
Okay? The promise goes through Jacob and Leah. But the promise applies to all the children of all the wives. But it goes through Leah. And so that gets so complicated trying to figure out where the promise goes and how it gets to Christ that oftentimes we lose our way. And was Jacob conscious of the promise? Yes. Did Jacob have any clue how it was going to be fulfilled? I don't think so.
Well, and he needed 12 tribes, and if he'd only been married to Rachel, she only had two. and we know that, you know, there's a reason why there are 12 tribes, but yeah, I'm not saying that. Yeah, it's a little confusing.
Brian.
Hasn't Rachel and Jacob been talking for this 7 years? Like, our coming wedding and what I saw out in the desert?
Absolutely. I see it that way, and I see this is all going on. So, the next morning, he says to Laban, what have you done to me? No one should have ever done this. I mean, this is something, nobody should do this. Did I not serve you for that? And now you have deceived me in his deception. And he is appalled at deception. And I again, you just have to snicker a bit because it fits the whole thing. When he says, here's the reason, and then, again, you know, is this Laban out of his generosity kind of going, well, okay, I'll throw in, you know, and so he says, you know, I'm going to get another 7 years out of you. And, you know, you keep the first one, I give you the second one, here's the way things are. The next question is, why does Jacob take this?
He said he's in love with Rachel.
Because he wants Rachel.
But if Tony, you come and you buy a car, and then I have another car show up in your driveway, and you say, what's this? And I say, oh, well, we don't sell the red ones before the blue ones. Do you keep the blue one and then pay me $20,000 more for the red one? No, you send it back. Right? Did he agree to this?
He already slept with her. He was bowing out to be married to her.
Is that his fault?
Well, he did it, though.
Well, I'm just saying. And so, I've got Luther, who said, I surely would have not endured it. I would have disputed with Laman. I would have summoned him to court in order that he would have been compelled by the laws to give my wife back. And I would have rejected the other one and sent her back to her father.
Okay,
that's only one problem. You know?
But there is the honorable thing to do. If you slept with a woman, you are bound to.
No.
All right, well, let me get these two and I'll come back. Eric?
Jacob is going to take everything from Laban. He's still planning to leave. He's going to take his other daughter and he's getting out of there.
Yeah, but he didn't really want Leah. In fact, later on it says that he loved Rachel more than Leah. And Leah is the stepdaughter. She's the, you know, she... Yeah, I don't...
The thing is, what court? Laban's got all these... He's got the henchmen. Those guys he's talking about, those are people that work for him. And Jacob is going to take her by force in what way? Who's he going to go to get Rachel from him? That isn't going to happen. His only option was maybe, okay, steal away in the night, but then have Laban and his guys track him down and kill him. Huh. Now, he's already run from one guy, he might kill him. He doesn't want to repeat that. Not only that, but
I think that
maybe
helps.
He's thinking, wait a minute, I kind of did this to somebody. Maybe I'm getting my own back.
I think that helps. What does Jacob have?
Nothing.
He still has nothing. He's been there 7 years. He still has nothing.
Except the wrong
he's
one.
He's got a wife.
And well, now he's got Leah. But, I mean, you know, does he have a bargaining chip with this whole thing? No, I think he's still over a barrel, and I think Laban still knows it.
There's also the problem of he took an oath. Now, I realize that doesn't mean anything today.
What oath?
The marriage oath. There was some kind of an oath in this thing.
Oh, in the marriage?
We don't know exactly what it was. Hmm.
But it was with Rachel, with Leah.
No, it wasn't, because Rachel wasn't there. You can't take a proxy oath.
Rachel was.
He didn't agree to marry Leah.
But he did.
There's no legal agreement. None.
He said, I'm going to marry this girl that's here in front of me now.
If there was justice and a court, and there would be none of it.
Yeah, but there wasn't.
I agree.
There was his oath.
So, at this point, he may be over a barrel. All right, Jane, you said there's honor?
Well, probably not honor, but somehow it's a binding. Once you have taken someone as a wife, you're supposed to support her and take care of her.
Luther says, a little bit later, that was just what he said at the beginning. He was just going along. He went on to say, for he thought, what am I to do? Leah has been deceived on the authority of her father, just as I have been deceived by this crafty scheme. If I forsake her, she will be forsaken forever. She has been defiled by me and deprived of her best dowry, namely her virginity. Or all men will suspect that she lost her chastity, even if I had abstained from her. Thus Jacob is persuaded by mercy, love, and patience not to repudiate Leah. This is an outstanding example of the special mercy and virtue because of which he keeps with him the woman who, as he knows, has been substituted for his bride.
See, Luther talks about lawyers, but he doesn't really mean it. Luther's saying, don't go to the law, do the right thing.
Jacob has been deceived. And he has learned, I'm going to say, as someone who has been caught in their deception has to confess it and swallow it. He has been caught. He has been deceived. He's got no recourse. He, too, finally says, you know, it's out of love and mercy that, yes, this will happen. Will I serve him another 7 years? You know, he got me. And so he does it. He does it out of love. At this point, what do we find? We find that he has two wives. That's as far as it goes. Jacob also went into Rachel, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served with Laban still another 7 years. The next chapter, we're going to talk about the children. We're going to talk about what happened. But he's got two wives. The first one, Leah, is a wife that is of mercy. His mercy, his not willing to, out of love for her, he is willing to keep her as a wife. However, Rachel is the one he loved. That's the one of that being said, how does he treat Leah? He does it out of great, I'm going to say, honor and virtue, and he does it out of mercy for her.
Well, after all, he got to know her for 7 years. It's like, you know.
But his treatment of her, I would liken it to the what happens? Someone's cars break down and you have to you stop to help them. Not because you really want to, but because it's the right virtuous thing to do. And then what do? You complain about it the rest of the day, how you had to do this and all. It was a good thing. It was out of virtue. But in the end...
Yeah, he fulfills his responsibility toward her, but he doesn't love her, and she knows it.
Well, thank you. Karen?
I don't know if I agree completely, because he says he loved Rachel more than Leah.
Yeah.
He did have...
But as six sons plus at least Dinah, he did have relations with her, so he didn't despise her. But he loved Rachel more. But every time Leah has a kid later on, you'll see she says, "Now he'll love me." he does not.
There's definitely
we're getting into the next one, but that's exactly what we're going to find. And I will say that the 20 years that God is working on Jacob, he's just taught him another lesson. And once he gets his wives, he's going to teach him another lesson.
I'll say the lesson is only have one wife.
Wow. Okay. If there isn't, I mean, there are those who look at this and say, well, Jacob had two wives, and you know, you can have two, and it'd be okay. I go, no, the real example is this. Anytime there's more than one wife, it is always a disaster. Just look at the
trouble.
It is trouble. Did you have?
No, that's three or eight.
Karn said the same.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
So, this is Jacob seeking to find a wife that he might have the promise, that he might have the descendants as well as the seed, the promised seed through whom Jesus would come. As he is doing this, things don't go, and he's been deceived, and now he has two wives. And I'm going to say he's probably looking to say it's going to come through Rachel, and we know already it's going to be that Judah is the one, and it's going to come through Leah. He has tried to do things. He's now got 14 years of service lined up. Got seven done. He's got seven more to go before he could leave. And then we're going to have to see what happens when that... God's not done with him. And so, even though we see such great faith and God working in the latter vision, we also see God's people, even the patriarchs, doing quite normal things, working, marrying, getting deceived, having kids, shepherding flocks. They do their vocation, and in the midst of it, God is working. And we said, he's going to be working during this time to make Jacob the patriarch that he wants him to be. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have provided for us this scripture for our instruction. We ask, dear Lord, that you would continue to teach us, that it would drive out of us all falsehood and deception, and that we might cling to your truth, and that the truth might come out our lips. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.